Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
Hey, can we thank Jesus one more time for his goodness and his kindness and his mercy towards us? We're truly in for an amazing night. You can grab your seats. Thank you, team, for leading us through worship. You guys can go and chill out for a moment, and we'll need you back really, really soon. But hey, who really appreciates Pastor Josh and Abby, our youth pastors, doing such a great job with young people on Thursday nights and here on Sunday upstairs? If you listen real closely sometimes, you can hear the partying going on up there. It's awesome. But they're actually in a season at the moment of getting ready for summer camp, which is in January 10th to the 13th. And I can kind of encourage you enough, if you're a parent in here and you've got teenagers, and that's one of the best environments you can get your kids to at the start of the year. I always laugh and I hear sometimes of parents, you know, threatening their kids that if you're naughty, you're not going to camp. Please, that's not the punishment. Send them to camp so that they can get a revelation from Jesus. Tell you what, there's nothing better than being in an environment where God can speak destiny and call on your kids' lives. And I've, you know, had the privilege, you know, of being a part of summer camps in the past. And you know what, when young people are on fire, I believe that our society is better. So I encourage you to do that. I think it's like the last Sunday you can get one of the cheapest prices. So make sure you do that. Come and talk to Pastor Josh as well if you've got any questions. But can you believe we're already talking about 2024? It is crazy. I know some of you have already done your Christmas shopping. Where are you, all my organized people? Yes. Nice. Okay, there's not too many of you. I feel at peace then. I feel at peace. Hey, I've got a word that's really on my heart. God's been speaking to me out of a particular scripture, and we're going to read it together in a moment before we pray. But if you come ready with your Bible, then I'll get you to follow with me on there as I read. But if you need the screen, then you can follow along there as well. We're going to be reading today from 2 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 6 to 14. And just such an encouraging verse. And so let's do it. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. See, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Verse 13, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Heavenly Father, as we come around your word this morning, I pray that it would bring revelation to each of us that wherever we find ourselves on the journey of following Christ, Lord, I pray that you would have full access to speak into our hearts, that our lives would be transformed to be more like Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Before I give you a little bit of context to this scripture that we've just read, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a conversion moment where at one point you were so against something, but now you find yourself for it? I'm going to be honest. Sometimes me and my wife don't really agree when it comes to what TV show to watch. And most times she'll ask me, do you want to watch this show? I'll be like, no, not interested at all. So I'll be out there doing my own thing, you know, acting like I don't care. Every once, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes I'll just end up kind of leaning by the door, watching from afar, trying to act disinterested because I'm not interested. And then it moves from standing on the side to, I'm just going to take a seat. Like, I'm not interested, but I'll just kind of perch. But, you know, you don't really sit down like you're interested, like with your back. You know, you sit like on the edge. Because, you know, I might need to go, you know, I'm not really interested. To then finding myself with a lazy boy reclined. Hey, babe, do you have any popcorn, you know? I am not proud of it, but sometimes I get converted so much that I skip ahead and watch all the other episodes without her there. And then I get in trouble. But I don't know about you. Have you ever had such a conversion moment where you've been so against something and you find yourself for it? Let's go there this morning. There's some people in here and you do not believe that pineapple belongs on pizza. You were very adamant about it until you tasted it. And maybe now you're converted. For me, it was always a crazy idea that you could mix something sweet and something savory. So I arrived to New Zealand, and I'm at a cafe, and apparently you can order pancakes and bacon. I'm converted, everybody. Or, look, I didn't think I was going to go there, but my Android people, you guys are the most loyal people in all of society. Have you ever met somebody who uses an Android phone? Like, they are so passionate. There we go. We have one. Until they discover the light and get an iPhone. But look, okay, Android users, you guys are fine. Do you know there is a group that doesn't speak much anymore, but who remembers Blackberries from afar? Apparently, they were supposed to change the world. They had emails on the phone. And that group of people held so strongly to the fact that BlackBerry was the future. I'm sorry. There are a lot of converts now sitting in the room. Paul is a man that knows what it is to have a radical conversion. You see, if you look into his story, before he was Paul, he went by the name Saul. And actually, he was a man who was devout in persecuting the followers of Christ at that time. So much so that some people would find themselves losing their lives because of his orders. He has this radical encounter with Jesus, just him on a road, encounters Jesus, and his life is changed forever. We know now that he's responsible for writing about 2/3 of the New Testament. Such was the turnaround from persecuting the church to him being okay with being persecuted for Jesus. So he's a man who understood a radical transformation. We pick up the story in 2 Timothy. Because part of his mission that he walked as a follower of Christ, Paul, is that he spread the gospel to the Gentiles. So he traveled a lot. And this young man, Timothy, that he's talking to is a young man that has come to know Christ because of Paul's travels. Bible makes clear just the verse before that Timothy's grandmother and mother had found Christ from one of Paul's missions. Now, Paul has taken Timothy under his care as an apprentice, someone that was learning the way of following Christ from Paul. It's interesting that when you read scriptures, Timothy and a bunch of others were all apprentices, people like Titus, who also have a book in the Bible, Philemon. I was reading this and I found it interesting that there are others who are mentioned as people who deserted Paul in his time of need. Yet, this man who was devout in Christ at the height of his ministry had heaps of people. Oh, Paul, you're the man right now. You're spreading the gospel. People are gathering right. When things were going well, oh, he had followers. He now finds himself in prison, in hardship. And all those people that were with him at the height are finding themselves challenged. Well, is this really what it means to follow Christ? Is this what my life will look like? Because at that time, much like in our society, following Christ was not popular. It wasn't the popular way of life. And so I guess Paul now in this letter in prison is writing to Timothy and he's encouraging him. In the midst of what I could imagine Timothy's facing, thinking to himself, well, everybody's jumping ship. Wouldn't it be easier just to disown Paul? And yet Paul takes a moment as a follower of Christ to say, I am going to speak to you and encourage you, because Paul had come to discover and he had said yes to this response that we've been talking about that Jesus made, saying, come follow me. And so Jesus says to Paul, come follow me. And Paul says to Timothy, join me as I follow Christ. I'm going to say that again. Jesus says, come follow me. Paul says to Timothy, join me as I follow Christ. And there's some things that stand out to me about Paul as a follower of Christ that I think we can learn from today. Number one, I've discovered this, that Paul, as a follower of Christ, called out the best in others. Paul, as a follower of Christ, called out the best in others. When was the last time you encouraged somebody? Or has the pressures and the weight of life and the circumstances that you're facing have caused you to look so inwardly and live so isolated that you forget that as a follower of Christ, you are called to encourage and to speak life into others? And so what does Paul say to Timothy? He says to him, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. I love that. Because this is the thing, right? Laying on of hands to me speaks of relationship. When we talk about it, it's not just a, hey, hope you're doing well. How's the family? God bless you. It's a, I'm going to take off my life and I am going to invest into you. I'm going to take time to call out the God gifts in you, to lay my hands, to pray with you. We are called to do life with people in such a way that we impart who we are as we follow Christ into their lives. That's what takes place in our groups. People saying, as I follow Christ, join me in this pursuit. I wonder, for some of us, God is saying to you, the answer to what you're feeling right now is not choosing negativity, but choosing to have a positive testimony with everyone else. You might be going through a struggle, but you're going to choose to look people in the eye and remind them that there is a call of God on your life. Your best days are still yet ahead of you. Do not give up. Paul, as a follower of Christ, he committed himself to calling out the best in others. And I've discovered that encouragement is my responsibility. The response is not. I think sometimes we can get so caught up in, well, I did it, but I didn't get anything back. That's not why we do it. You don't call it out for your own purpose. You call it out so that the person has an opportunity to step into it themselves. Can I say, for some of us right now, the fire that once burnt so passionately and so strong for Jesus, is it still burning with that same vigor? Or has time and the weariness of a year caused what was once a raging fire and passion for Jesus to become a smoldering ember? Because Paul makes it very clear that the gift is in you, but he can't fan it for you. In a moment at the end, we're going to have a time where we get to worship. But friend, one of the things we get to do here on a Sunday is use this environment and the faith to fan into flame the gift of God that God has given us, that is Christ Jesus, and our salvation, that we would burn with a zeal and a passion. Have you ever met somebody who is on fire for Jesus? You don't need to ask them if they know him. Through their deeds, through their actions, through who they are, it is evident that something has taken place on the inside. So as they follow Christ, it's like, I'll follow you because, and I'll join you because I can see the fire of God burning on this. So not only did Paul, as a Christ follower, call out the best in others, I believe that he's active in his God call. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, he says, he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. In verse 11, he goes on to say, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. I'm going to make a statement. Your job is not your calling. Just let that sink in. Your job is not your calling. Your job is a vehicle that God wants to use to further your calling. Because for every single person in this room, your calling is to point people to Jesus. That's what we were created to do. That is the mission and the mandate our Savior Jesus left us, that we are to go into all the world and make disciples. Yes, you might be a great teacher. You might be a great doctor. You might be great at what you do, but that is a vehicle that if you surrender it to Jesus, he wants to use, that you would bring impact and change to those around you. You think that you can do a lot, but watch what you can do when you surrender your job and say, I'm going to live out my calling. That people would know Jesus. So Paul says, join me. Join me as I follow Christ. You know, I was thinking about a young man. He leads our security team here. His name is Erenihi. And I've had the opportunity to talk to him. He was asked to start looking after our security team probably back in the last year. And he'd be the first to say that he didn't feel like he was qualified to do that because of his experience and his age. But he said, yeah, I'll do it. And let me say this, I don't think he's called to be a security person or a security leader, but he made a decision that he was going to use it to point people to Jesus. I've had moments where I've seen the team grow over this year, and I'll go to Edenia, I'm like, who's this guy? Oh, he's somebody who came to my group, and I was like, hey, do you want to join me on security so that we can serve together? Hey, as I follow Christ, join me. So it's not about doing a task and, yes, helping our kids be safe in kids. No, no, no. It's about how can I involve you on the journey as I follow Christ. Join me. That's not just Edenihi's story. It can be all our story. And I want to say thank you this morning again to every single person who's living this out. Whether you serve here on a Sunday morning, during the week, or maybe in community, whatever you're doing, if you're making an impact in people's lives, thank you. But friend, can I just speak to you as your pastor? I don't know if you are experiencing the fullness of what Jesus has for you if you're just doing the come follow me part without the join me part. Because I think that they're hand in hand. As we follow Jesus, we are called to say to others, join me as I follow Christ. And when it comes to building his house, if you know you're not in a place where you are active in your God call, trust me, there is plenty to do. There is many hands needed. Can I put it this way? There's dishes to be done. So not only was Paul somebody who called out the best in people. Not only was Paul somebody who was active in his God call, I believe as a follower of Christ, Paul was settled in his belief. He was settled in his belief. It says this about him in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. That is why I am suffering. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. It had me thinking about, you know, those of us maybe who grew up in church, you know, we've nicknamed him Doubting Thomas. An encounter in John 20 where Jesus, after his resurrection, reveals himself to the rest of the disciples, but Thomas missed out. And as they're telling him about the account, he says to them, well, unless I see him with my own eyes and I touch his wounds, then I will not believe. I love that Jesus is so gracious and kind and says, I'll turn up for you, Thomas. So he does. And then I chuckle a little bit because I was reading it this weekend. John obviously is writing the book and he kind of says this, which is a very encouraging line, but I kind of saw it from the other way. It's a little bit of a dig to Thomas because he says, you know, blessed are those who will believe without seeing. Thomas, you had to see it to believe it. But in 2023, there are going to be people who will sit at 3 Lakewood Court and they will believe because somebody said, join me as I follow Christ. Are you settled in your belief? In a society and in a world that is constantly challenging our values, Christ-centered values, are you settled in your belief, or is it constantly a question when something comes up? Because Paul said, I have believed and I am convinced. Jesus says, come follow me. I say, join me as I follow Christ, because I am convinced that what he has done in my life, how he has saved me and turned my life around, is proof enough that he is good, that he is faithful, so I can confidently look you in the eye and tell you that as I follow Christ, if you join me, this will be the best thing that you've ever done. I have no wavering. I'm not ashamed. I've got no question marks because I've seen what is done in my marriage. I've seen what is done in my kids. I have a testimony that points to the reality that I can settle my belief in Christ. And as the team comes and joins me this morning, I want to create a space because I really believe that over the past 3 weeks, we've had messages around these words, this truth of come follow me, but really sensed as I was preparing this week that those words fan into flame. I think some of us have heard it, and maybe all years this has been our theme over the year, have heard it. But have you responded? Have you actually said yes? Have you actually made room in your life for God to use you, that you would discover your God-given call and find fulfillment? Maybe some of the angst you're currently carrying, I know it's real, but can I suggest that when you choose to step in and say yes, you will discover the peace that comes with a surrender to following Jesus. So I'm going to get everybody to stand with me right now. And before we worship, I had this moment as I was preparing the message, and I'd read the scripture in one version, and then I thought, I want to read what it says in the message. And as I was reading it, I felt so strongly in my spirit, the Holy Spirit go, TC, imagine if this was the Apostle Paul writing to you, not to Timothy, but to you. That this book is not just words written to someone else, but it's alive and it's speaking. And so I want to read it to us again right now in the message version. But I want you to think to yourself, Paul's in prison. He's given his life for this mission to follow Jesus. And when it maybe might have felt convenient for him to say, you know what? It's too hard. He's like, pass me some pen and paper. Because there are people that I need to write to and remind them not to be fearful, not to be ashamed, but to fan into flame the gift of God that's on the inside. So as I read this, maybe right now in this moment, you want to maybe close your eyes because you don't want to get distracted, but I just want you to listen to these words as if Paul was writing them to you. He says this, that precious memory triggers another. Your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up about our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us. We can only keep on going. After all, by the power of God who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea. A gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death is defeated, life vindicated, in a steady blaze of light all through the work of Jesus. This is the message I've been set apart to proclaim as preacher, emissary, and teacher. It's also the cause of this trouble I'm in. But I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. So keep at your work. This faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. What does the Holy Spirit need access to do in your heart today? Is it confidence? Is it breakthrough? Is it freedom? Is it surrender? As the team worships and leads us, would you open your heart and let the Holy Spirit do his work?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.